Hello and welcome to the Miracle Moon podcast with me, Dr. Frankie Harrison, a clinical psychologist, and Georgie, Miracle Moon co-founder. As two NICU mums, we want you to know that you are not alone.
We'll be talking to professionals in the field, parents on their journeys after NICU, and exploring and validating common thoughts and feelings that NICU parents so often experience, but no one talks about.
So whether you're listening to this in NICU now, or if NICU has been a part of your past, just know that what you feel is valid, what you experienced is hard, and that there is a whole community of NICU parents here to support you. Come and join us.
Today we're joined by Karen, who's a parent who's been through neonatal care herself, and she now works as the Parent and Family Engagement Lead for Yorkshire and Humber ODN. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Thanks so much for joining us.
No worries, I'm really looking forward to it.
So to start with, I guess, if you could tell us a bit about you, your journey to working as a parent and family engagement lead, and a little bit about your NICU experience, however much you feel comfortable to share, that would be fabulous.
Yeah, sure. So my daughter was born at 30 plus 6 weeks, just over 15 years ago now. And once she came home, I kind of felt like I didn't fit out the other groups. So I set up a group with another mum from NICU. And from that, then got involved in the Northwest Parent Advisor Group, and then got involved working for Bliss. I did that for about 6 years. Helped them to set up their volunteers across the Yorkshire and Humber Neonatal Network. And then towards the end of my time at Bliss, I helped to run the Bliss Baby Charter across the Yorkshire and Humber region and the Northwest. So yeah, I've been involved since my daughter was born, and kind of moved through different roles to get to where I am today. Wow. This role came up about 18 months ago. I started August 2021.
So did you get kind of, you know, as soon as you were home, did you kind of get into that kind of work, or was it something that you had been doing previously to having your daughter, or was it completely new?
Completely different. I used to work in recruitment before that, so totally different job. Yeah. And it was just kind of coming home and not really having that support, not being any groups around. All the groups were full of toddlers, and I had a little prem baby, and I was a bit nervous to go out. And then, you know, kind of that whole world opens up where there's lots of other parents who feel the same. Then started working for Bliss, and, you know, had the volunteers supporting other parents on the neonatal unit. And then now the role that I do now is working at that network level. So some work with parents and the neonatal units, and some more strategic work at that network level with both the neonatal network and maternity colleagues as well.
Okay. So for people who don't understand the networks thing, who are completely new to talking about it, can you explain to us a little bit about what you mean by that?
Yeah. So I think there's 10 neonatal operational delivery networks, ODNs, across the whole country, and they all cover a specific geographical area. So the Yorkshire and Humber Neonatal Network covers 19 neonatal units. So we've got 4 neonatal intensive care units, 1 specific surgical neonatal intensive care unit, and then a mixture of local and special care baby units. And the network is made up of a core team, but also made up of representatives from all the 19 neonatal units as well.
Okay, and who is involved in those teams?
So you've got doctors and nurses, you have consultants, you have neonatal nurses, and, you know, so yeah, the neonatal network is made up of a core team. So there's myself, a lead nurse. I work with the 2 care coordinators, Donna and Dawn, and the care coordinator role is a national role, which came about just before my role came up in August. We have consultants, lead consultants of the network. There's a lead nurse for education, data team. So it's quite it's an ever-growing team, but essentially we work with and for the neonatal units.
Okay. So in terms of thinking about like parents and what it is that they can do to be able to get involved, what do you feel like they can do?
Historically, parents haven't been involved as much as they are now. So kind of going back, say, 5-10 years ago, parents were very much a light touch in terms of their involvement. It would often be, you know, the staff wanted to make a new leaflet, and they'd make the leaflet and say to the parents, do you like it? And it'd be a case of, well, it's okay for a leaflet. We didn't really want a leaflet and wanted something about something totally different. But, you know, what I've done is try to turn its head and bring parents in right from the very start. So I've set up a co-production group, which is within the neonatal network, and that's got staff. So we've got real good buy-in from consultants, nurses, the Embrace transport team, psychologists, AHPs, physios, OT, speech and language therapy, dietetics involved in that as well. And obviously parents involved in that. So that co-production group now is kind of a layer of governance. So if anyone is thinking about doing a new resource for parents or some new training for staff or a new pathway, new guidelines, that tends to come now into the co-production group and we work on it together. So from the very first meeting, whoever wants to be involved in that, and it has to have parents involved, parents are involved from that very, very initial meeting right the way through the whole process. Parents have that lived experience. So when you don't involve the parents, you're making often massive assumptions about what they might want and how they want it. So I'll use the example of a leaflet before. Quite often parents are now wanting, you know, short videos or some of the visual stuff, social media, etc., things online rather than paper copies of leaflets. So just knowing the format they want in is a start, and then what they actually want to know. They really play a massive part in that now. But they don't. They don't have to do the co-production group. I mean, we do regular focus groups, listen events. We do have one-to-one chats with parents and get their stories that way. They might just, you know, come to one-off events or just share their stories one-off as well. It really can be as much or as little as they want to be involved. There's no massive commitment. We have some parents who'll do absolutely loads and they, you know, they want to be involved in everything. That's great. But equally, you know, that one parent that wants to come along and share their story as a one-off, that's equally as important and, you know, really, really helpful to us.
And do people have to share their story or can they just come and help with, you know, development of stuff? Do they have to do that part?
Yeah, so no one has to share the story. What tends to happen, if someone expresses an interest in being involved, I will, you know, have an hour or so chat with them just to kind of find out what their story is. I always find it's quite useful for them to share with me, so we've got that kind of rapport going, I understand where they're coming from, but that's where it kind of ends in terms of if they don't want to share it any wider, that's absolutely fine. That just kind of gives me a bit of an idea of what things they might want to be involved in and where they're at in their journey. Some parents want to share their story as a case study, or they might want to be involved in some training for staff and share what their experience was like. But quite often they just want to be involved in making things better. The vast majority of parents, you know, they want, you know, even if they've had, you know, not the best experience, they want to be involved so that it's better for other people. That's the biggest driver, I find.
So your role is to be that kind of middle link between families and the staff, the thinking about like development of the NICU and kind of, you know, maternity and all of that kind of thing, and kind of waving that flag of going, let's think about the parents here.
Yeah, very, very, very much so. So I'm non-clinical. My background isn't, you know, as a neonatal nurse or anything like that. I was, as we said, a neonatal parent. So my role is very much around getting the units and the staff to think, you know, think parents, whatever they're doing. And sometimes it can be a bit challenging for them because, you know, I might be saying involve parents in a guideline or involve parents in some training. And at first it didn't always seem obvious that parents should be involved in those things. But, you know, 18 months down the line, you know, it really is happening. They are, they're coming to me in their droves now and saying to me, you know, we need to do this. We want to involve parents. Could you get some feedback on this? So it kind of works kind of different ways. I'll kind of have some ideas that I think, you know, won't be worth looking at. I'll always run by the parents and see what their feelings are on that. But equally, you know, the staff sometimes come to me and say, you know, can we look at this? And also on the flip side, I always encourage the parents when I talk to them and say, you know, we have a work plan. We have, you know, these ongoing projects. We have subgroups as part of the co-production group. But if you've got something you really, really want to, you know, work on, then just say, because if you think it's important, then there's probably another 3, 4, 5 parents who think the same thing. So it's very much, and that's another change kind of from how it's worked historically. Previously it'd be led by staff, so any parent engagement would be, we want to change, you know, number of parents coming to ward rounds, or we want to look at visiting. And actually now it's just as equal for parents to say, you know, we want to have something around siblings. That's one recently, you know, people who've got older siblings, there's not always a great deal for them to do on the neonatal units. They have lots of toys for the smaller siblings, but not necessarily for that kind of tween age. So, you know, I am responsive to what other people want as well, particularly the parents.
That's brilliant. And I know, Georgie, you've been involved, haven't you, in kind of parent advisory groups at the moment, haven't you? You're in different parts of the country.
Opposite ends of the country completely. Yeah, I've been involved in some sort of listening events and training of how to tell your story to sort of make change. And that's been really, really useful and interesting. And in just even listening in on those kind of events actually is really interesting to see the points of view of all the other parents as well. And some of the changes that are in place and that they're doing in the PAG that I've been listening to are really interesting. I was going to say, maybe have you got an example of some kind of a change that's been made after having consulted parents? I don't know, to give an example of the kind of changes that people are making with their input.
Yeah, so there's loads of different things that we're doing. A couple of the big projects that myself and the care coordinators and our lead nurse within our team are working on is, parents told us that, you know, when you particularly move from one unit to another, there's often a lack of consistency, there's big changes, things are done differently, and it can be really unsettling and confusing and anxiety inducing. So there have been kind of iterations, you know, over the years in various networks of a parent passport. So we decided to look at doing that. But very quickly, parents told us that they didn't like the name passport. And it kind of made sense because, you know, use a passport to prove who you are. And we don't want people proving that they're a parent. They are the parent. So we worked again very, very much with the parents at the very start. And we pulled together a resource app for parents. It's due to be launched in the next month or two. And it's going to be called Our Neonatal Journey. And it's got lots of information in there, but it's also got kind of, they've been called competences in the past. We don't like the word competences again. So we're going to call them confidences. So, you know, when a parent feels confident to change a baby's nappy or feels confident about, you know, feeding through an NG tube, that they can kind of say, yeah, I'm confident with that now. And it's kind of a record for them and, you know, kind of their kind of journey being documented. But also kind of when they move between units, it helps them to, you know, be able to say, look, I have done this and I'm feeling confident that, but I could still do some help with X, Y, and Z. So parents have been involved, you know, throughout that. You know, we've tweaked it, we've changed it, they've written parts of it. You know, some of it has been done just between the parents and myself. We've involved staff in that as well. Another project we've done is our All Wrapped Up project. And this is around, this kind of came from the care court, one of the care coordinators who wanted to do some work around helping support babies through painful or uncomfortable procedures. So there's lots of kind of evidence around wrapping babies, you know, wrap bathing, wrap weighing, all that kind of thing. And we've tried to take it a step further and look at, you know, wrapping them for things like cannulation, NG tube, lumbar punctures, and looked at how parents can be involved in that. And we've produced a resource for parents, but also used by staff, which is going to be a set of videos showing step by step. It's going to have some pictures. It's going to have some QR codes to take to the videos so that parents can be really involved and see how important they are to support their baby, because quite often parents can feel very much like they don't have a role on the unit and actually want to really kind of embed that family-centered care and that family-integrated care, that parents play a massive role and can play a massive role. So those are two big projects. Smaller projects, we work with parents around access, neonatal unit, improving access. So as a result of some of the feedback we've had of parents, some work we've been doing, one of our units has now moved to swipe card access, and a number of the units are on a pilot scheme with us to look at doing fingerprint access as well. So that's a smaller project, but actually it's kind of getting bigger, and you know, it will have a massive impact on parents being able to access the unit to get to their baby.
Do you know what, that actually is something that I've never thought about actually, but how horrible it felt every day to have to press a buzzer and go, it's Margot's mum, and then look at you in the camera and go, okay, yeah, you can come in.
And it's one of the biggest things parents feedback to us, that buzzing in and then if you've got to wait. You just start waiting, your mind starts running away with itself, and is it because it's my baby, they're not coming to the door, has something happened, why can't I get in? And you know, it might only be, you know, 3 minutes, but your mind has gone to all kinds of dark places, and that can really stress parents out. But equally, you know, one of the parents shared with us, you know, when I first started this role, that she used to really get quite claustrophobic, and sometimes she wanted to get off the unit, and you have to bust to get off a lot of the units, and trying to get off the unit sometimes was really kind of stressful for her, because she, you know, and it never occurred to me, you know, I always thought about getting on the unit but not getting off the unit, which is again illustrates why asking parents for feedback, you know, really is so important, because there's so many different kind of viewpoints and experiences. So yeah, we're really working on that, because it's really stressful when you've got to say, it's lots of layers of permissions to get to your baby, isn't it? It's a buzzing in and then going in and asking, can you sit down and can you hold your baby and can you get them out? Because it's to take one of those layers away.
Yeah.
I just felt like a nuisance. So when I was asking people to like buzz me out or buzz me in, I was just, I'm so sorry, I know you're in the middle of stuff. And that was the bit that I didn't like. And I was just like, I know you're doing more important stuff, but I need to get out or get in. And that just felt like another, again, layer of stuff that just maybe didn't need to be there.
And again, parents said a lot to us, actually, Frankie, that it, you know, I felt like it was a nuisance. I felt it was always mind blowing. Or, you know, if you come on, you think, oh God, I need to nip back to the car for something, or I need to nip back. And it's like, oh, I've got to ask again. And you say, you just felt your burden, and you already felt your burden because they're caring for your baby and that should be your job. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We are so thankful to Emma at Cover My Bubble for sponsoring our podcast. She asked us not to do an advert, but we so believe in what her company is doing that we really wanted to shout about it. Cover My Bubble is a family-run insurance company. Emma started the company after her daughter Lily spent time in NICU but sadly didn't make it home. Emma was impacted financially by the situation and wanted to support other people so that they don't have to go through the same thing.
Having both been through NICU and not having insurance, we saw the impact the NICU and illness can have on your family emotionally and financially. You can hear more all about the different types of insurance that Cover My Bubble offer on our episode with Emma, but also on their website, covermybubble.co.uk. We believe strongly in this company. They come from the heart and they're working to support families like ours. We know that so many of you will have been impacted emotionally by these issues, but by thinking about insurance, maybe some of the financial pressure could also be alleviated.
So do you do the work with the neonatal units? Do you do much with maternity services, or like if people are on like the maternity ward? Because I know that that's something that we've been talking about a lot, is that kind of link with maternity care.
Yeah, so like with the feedback from parents about access to the unit, another thing that comes up really frequently is those first few days post-birth when you're on the postnatal ward and you kind of fall down a gap because the postnatal ward think, oh, they're on NICU, so they're looking after them and you know, and they're seeing to them, and NICU think, well, we don't need to feed them because they're impatient and they're getting fed up on the ward. But the reality is that often parents are going without meals, they're going without medication, they're walking too soon after a C-section because they don't want to wait for a member of staff to take them down because they want to go now and not in 2 hours' time. And there's that sometimes, you know, speaking to parents, they disconnect with some of the maternity staff's understanding of what it's like. And it's no fault of their own. They're really busy on their unit and it's, you know, it's kind of, they're very much in their world. And you get some fantastic examples of where they've really supported parents. But, you know, there's lots of parents that say, you know, I wanted to be in two places at once. I wanted to have a meal, but also I want to be my baby. And that was more important. So they forgo those things. So in terms of working maternity, there's actually quite a lot of work I do with maternity at various levels. So I work closely with the local maternity and neonatal assistants, the LMNSs, at kind of that network level with them. But I also do a lot of on-the-ground stuff with maternity voice partnerships. Mm-hmm. So one of the very first things I did when I came to this role was kind of seek out those MVP chairs. I've actually been an MVP chair myself. So I kind of knew what they did and I knew how, you know, the work they were doing is so important. And, you know, I'm one person across 19 neonatal units. It's a massive geographical area. I can't possibly kind of get to every single parent on the ground. I can't, you know, do a focus group every week in Harrogate and every week in Bradford, for example. I've got to kind of be kind of thinking about how I do that in a way that connects with the most people in the most kind of time effective way. So one of the things I did originally was speak to all the MVP chairs. Got to know what they were doing. Were they already doing anything in the neonates? Most of them weren't doing, but were really keen to do so. But MVP chairs often have very few hours in comparison. I'm full-time in this role. So my offer to them was really kind of, you know, do one on the cat neonates, shall we do it together? So as a result of that, there's been a variety of things we've done. We've done joint listen events, joint focus groups. More recently, I've been doing 15 steps events with them. Have you heard of those?
No, can you tell us about that?
So maternity 15 steps events are when it's kind of based on the principle that within the first 15 steps of walking into an environment, you get a sense from the smell, the sound, the way people are with you, what's on the walls, mm-hmm. you know, if it's, is it safe, is it representative of you? You know, if your English isn't your first language, is it things in your language? You know, if you're got partial sighted, you know, is anything, you know, kind of in larger print, or, you know, all those kind of things that as you walk on, you'll get a sense of whether you're going to be able to, you know, be able to access the things that this environment offers. And kind of historically, that has been, in terms of maternity voice 15 steps, has been limited to the maternity area. So, you know, triage, antenatal, postnatal, delivery. And occasionally we'll kind of stray into neonates. But generally, you know, particularly in Yorkshire and Humber, that hadn't kind of filtered into neonates. So it was a case of not even reinventing the wheel and looking at how we can work together. So since October last year, I've done about 6 or 7 with the MVP chairs. And I'm taking the neonatal parents with me on that as well. So in most cases, we're taking neonatal parents with us. I'm there as well. And what I tend to do is some of them do kind of the whole of maternity in one go. Some of them will pick, you know, 2 or 3 areas. And when I go, what I tend to ask is, can I have postnatal and neonates? Mm-hmm. Because that's where the kind of the main feedback comes from. And it's given me a really good insight into, you know, how it works on postnatal, on the hospitals that I've got neonatal units. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking those questions like, you know, how do you get your meals to your parents? You know, and some of the staff kind of say, well, we just tell them to come back up to the ward at 12 o'clock. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, what happens if they've just got in skin to skin and they, you know, they've been waiting for, you know, for an hour or two for ward round to be finished and things. It's like, yeah. Ooh.
Well, they need someone to come and get them.
Yeah. And quite often it's really what seems to be kind of really, should be really simple, you know, taking jacket potato down to that parent just feels like a massive task, because there's, you know, not a hot food trolley for that ward, it's a different level, or there's all kind of practical considerations, and it might take a little bit of sorting out. But, you know, the first step is making sure that they're realizing that, because quite often they're not realizing that this is the issue, because the NICU parent, you know, isn't saying it's an issue, because it's in the scheme of things, your baby on a neonatal unit, missing jacket potato isn't the be-all and end-all. But actually, you know, 3-4 days on the line, you're not really eating very much. You're going to start feeling a bit rubbish, aren't you? And you're trying to recover.
And also, if you're trying to express milk as well, you need to eat.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And rest and all these kind of things that, you know, are kind of against NICU parents, because you are kind of going between two areas. You are doing things, you know, walking after a C-section before you should be doing. But, you know, taking the parents to those is really important, because there's one unit that I went to and, you know, I was sharing, you know, that parents have told me that, you know, they're missing out on meals, and the member of staff who'd come from neonate said, well, I don't think they're doing our unit. You know, we don't really hear about this. And the parent I was with me, I knew she'd missed her meals. And I just said, do you want to fill in? And she went, I miss them all the time. And it made me feel like this. And then kind of shared that she'd went to another unit. And at the other unit, meals were just kind of provided on the neonatal unit for all parents. And not just mums, dads as well. Mm. And it was really great to hear that from her, because, you know, they didn't disbelieve me, but, you know, it wasn't my experience. Having that lived experience from that parent there who'd lived and breathed that on that very unit was so powerful, because you can't argue with that. That was her experience.
Yeah, definitely. I remember doing that bit of having to go back upstairs, not wanting to, because I was hungry, and sharing my meal with my husband.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, sitting
there.
Which
technically you're not allowed to do.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I just, in those kind of early days, remember kind of doing that, and that bit of just feeling like you were tied to the maternity ward as well, with medication and having to wait, and again feeling like a nuisance of that bit of going, I want to go and see my baby, or my baby's ward round downstairs, but I need my Oramore to be able to do that.
And it's other things, like I was talking to parents the other day about, you know, on the postnatal ward sometimes, because you're not getting your baby with you, maternity staff not always thinking to get your breast pump, or to talk through about how to use a breast pump with you, because they've presumed NICU are doing that, but then NICU might have presumed maternity doing that. And if you don't know, you know, whether it's your first baby or your fifth baby, if you've never had a preterm or a poorly baby that's on NICU, and you've never had to express using a hospital grade pump before, I mean, they're scary pieces of equipment, aren't they? You've got to know what to do to get the best out of them. So it's things like that. So doing the 15 steps with Maternity Voice Partnerships and taking the neonatal parents along to those is just proving really, really helpful, because I'm getting to speak to those maternity colleagues as well as the neonatal colleagues, and just start sowing those seeds, you know, and flagging up that, you know, have you thought about that? Where do your parents go on the ward? Quite often they'll put them in a single room, which is great. And, you know, lots of parents want to be in a single room rather than being in a room postnatally with, you know, on a ward with and a baby for the babies and parents. But, you know, those rooms are sometimes, quite often I'm finding, at the end of the ward. Mm-hmm. So they've still got to walk past those babies and actually add into that walk post C-section quite often. And then the walk from the hospital, from the unit onto, you know, back down, you know, a different floor to neonates. So there's all those things that, you know, they kind of, although neonatal is part of a parent's whole pregnancy journey, they do feel very separate quite often. Yeah. It does feel like what's happening on postnatal or you know, when you go home is very separate to what's happening on neonates. But for that parent, it's the same journey. Neonates, a colleague of mine, Kelly, said that, you know, neonates doesn't start and end at those doors of the neonatal unit. There's so much before that and there's so much after that. And that postnatal bit is tricky. So that's something we're really trying to work on collaboratively with the MVPs and the neonatal parents at the moment.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've just got involved with my local MVP and I've been trying to say, do you do anything with neonatal? Because I've got involved from trying to impact the postnatal side of things. And I've been saying, do you do anything with neonatal? They're like, oh, it's not in our work plan. It's not in our work plan. And I'm like, okay, but so with the 15 steps, which I'm going to go to, I was like, do we do neonatal? And I'm just going to have to keep pushing it, I think.
There is some change coming. There's been a three-year strategy that's come out just the end of last week around this something called a single delivery plan. And that is referring to MVPs, MNVPs, like the LMSs have become LMNSs for local maternity systems. So there is much more of a drive now to include neonates into those MVP work plans, which for me is great because I'm already working with them and it kind of gives them a bit more of a remit to get involved in that. And, you know, we're working hand in hand anyway, but it, you know, it kind of puts it on the agenda. I think with MVP, sometimes, you know, parents have fed back to me that because it's just an MVP and because it's very focused on maternity stuff, it sometimes feels like they don't fit there or it can be quite triggering for them. So I think, you know, we're at an exciting point now if becoming MNVPs where we start looking at, you know, maybe there's a neonatal meeting specifically. And that'd be great. If you had 19 little, you know, neonatal maternity voice meetings that I can kind of channel into and they can kind of feedback out to me, that'd be fantastic. But MVPs are often, you know, not funded to, you know, be full time. They're often a few hours a week at best. So I am conscious that it's a lot to be asking of them, which is why my offer is always in my area that, you know, if it's neonates, kind of, you know, come to me and let's do it together and share that load.
That's great. Yeah.
And it is. I think that there is change coming now in terms of neonatal stuff, and the amount of psychology jobs that are coming up in NICUs is huge. Like they're popping up all the time, which is great just to get. And even though that, you know, maybe less hours than you want, it's someone in there, isn't it, who can kind of, you know. It's brilliant. So I think that there is change coming and I hugely, you know, appreciate everything that you're doing from your end in terms of being able to help families get their voices heard and to be able to make those changes. It's huge what you're doing and what you're able to do for families. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. And it works always, doesn't it? You know, because we're all playing a part in this. And I know I've seen you post on your social media many times, you know, kind of that, yeah, bringing the voice together and getting them heard. And it is powerful. If we all work together, you know, me working with MVPs, me coming in here today, you know, connecting with the units, maternity getting involved, it's bigger than just any one of us, isn't it? We need to make sure that we're all supporting each other with it, because when you do and you hear from the parents and you hear what a difference things can, you know, can really make to them. I asked some parents recently about ward rounds, and, you know, the difference, a gulf between the parents that said, I felt I was involved in ward rounds and because I was involved, I felt empowered. I felt like, you know, I was really part of my baby's care. I felt really like I knew what the decisions were and that I could make an informed decision. Mm. And then the parents that maybe weren't involved as much or at all in a ward round, felt really much, you know, very much in the dark. They didn't know, you know, what their role was. They didn't know if they could go to ward rounds. You know, the difference when you involve parents is massive in a really positive way.
Yeah. And, you know, it's such a massive part of what we do, is getting that kind of, you know, community engagement in what we do. So having it as part of the NHS and making changes in the NHS and all of that is so hugely important, obviously. Yeah. So tell us about, you know, how parents can find you, if they're maybe within your area, or if they want to be involved in the different kinds of levels, what can they do? How can they do that?
So they can contact my email. They can contact me via our Facebook channel. So we have a Facebook page, which is Yorkshire and Humber Neonatal Parents and Families. So yeah, they can contact me through my email, or they can contact me through the social media channels. At the moment, we're running our annual survey. So once a year, we are kind of finding out from parents what their experience has been like. And that covers a whole host of areas. It doesn't cover everything because it's already a huge survey. But at the moment, myself and the rest of the family care team, we're working on 4 priority areas, and the questions are kind of focused around that. Things like being involved in baby's care, being with your baby, so access, meal provisions, comfortable chairs, parent facilities, you know, knowing how to, you know, be involved in your baby's care and decision making, all those kind of things that are part of the survey. So I'm really keen to hear as many voices as possible through that survey, so that, you know, we're hearing from everybody, because as I said, everyone's journey is slightly different, but there's lots of universal experience, you know, points that people come across that are very similar. And we used a survey last year, and we'll do the same again this year. If certain themes come out of that, you know, regardless of our work plan, we can focus on those. We can bring that into the work plan and make sure we're addressing any of those issues. Those are the ways people can get in touch with us.
Wonderful. So we'll put those in the show notes so that people know how to get in contact with you. And yeah, lovely. So if we kind of wrap up for today, if that feels okay, is there any advice that you would give to NICU parents?
We always end every podcast with this. And yeah. So don't worry.
I've prepared something. So I think for me, it's very much that your voice matters, that it really matters and does make a difference. And it doesn't matter what your background is, what your experience is, what your journey was, how long, how short, you know, how early a baby was, whether they were term, you know, every voice matters and every experience is a valid experience, and sharing that voice can really help other people.
Yeah, lovely.
We wholeheartedly agree.
Hugely agree. Yeah. Thank you so much for giving us your time today, Karen. And we look forward to working with you in the future and being able to kind of make those bigger connections. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode. We'd be so grateful if you could rate, comment, or subscribe if you found it helpful. We'd love to see you again, so come and join our community on Instagram at MiracleMoonUK.
You can check out our other resources and services on our website, www.miraclemoon.co.uk. We can't wait to see you there.